In the 5th century, St. Augustine remarked, "Thou hast created us for thyself, and our heart is restless until it rests in thee." In other words, we were made for relationship with God. We've been created out of love, to be in intimacy with God. And when Jesus offers his disciples what we've come to know as the Lord's Prayer, it is to help us deepen that relationship and bring us closer to God. The disciples were devout Jews, rooted in a praying tradition. And yet, they were infected with the age-old doubts about prayer, how we should pray, and whether prayer was effective, and if we knew the right words. Hence, Jesus gives them a simple prayer. And then he follows with a funny story about a person knocking on his neighbor's door at midnight to borrow some bread. Lest we think this text is about how and when we pray, and whether we get the right words, know that it is not. It is a text about the character of God. The God who cares for us, who listens to us, who responds to us, who loves us. The bottom line of all the scripture from Genesis to Revelation is that God cares and loves us, each and every one of us, and wants to be in relationship with us. Individual relationship. Prayer, conversation with God, is an important way of living into relationship. And the prayer Jesus gives his friends is to assure us that God loves us to supply our needs, forgive us, protect us. Note that the prayer Jesus gives us is in the plural. Our needs, our sins, our protection. We're in this together. And then he gives us a number of phrases that work together to sum up the Christian life and mission. Beginning with the instruction to call upon the Almighty Creator as Father, the next petition actually commits us to do all in our power to bring God's kingdom to fruition in our time and place. We ask God to provide all we need, the bread of each day, and the sustenance of a world in which forgiveness reigns over selfishness and revenge. Finally, like Jesus himself, we ask that we not be put to the final test, but that the cup of suffering pass us by, if that be God's will. Prayer is not a laundry list of things we want presented to a genie. Prayer is a conversation in the context of living relationship. We make our requests because God invites us to. The same way a human parent wants her child to ask for the unicorn, even if there's no way to grant that wish. But you want the request to reflect her heart. And we're not likely, none of us is likely, to give her a snake instead. There's a mysterious thread running through Scripture where God, it seems, loves us to be persistent, wants us to be persistent, to desire something with all of our heart and soul and not give up after. Of course, most famously, there's the marvelous story in Genesis of Jacob wrestling with the angel. Really, he was wrestling with God. And he wrestled with him all night, and his hip joint got out of socket, but he kept saying, "I will not go until you bless me." And the angel blessed him because of his persistence. Imagine fighting with God and not letting God go until he blesses you. On one hand, how can you dare to do that? And yet on the other, God seems to honor it. And in the Gospels, in Mark, A Gentile woman begs Jesus to cast the demon out of her daughter, and Jesus is kind of flippant and says, well, it's not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. But she won't let him go and says, even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs. Jesus is so moved by her persistence that he cures her daughter. And also in Mark's gospel in chapter 2, four men are carrying their paralyzed friend and trying to get him through the door of the house. And they try and try, and the door is, there were too many people. So they go up to the roof and they take the roof off and they let the mat down, the man down on his mat. And talk about persistence. And Jesus healed their friend and he walked again. Persistent prayer is not so much about knocking on the door of God's heart that in the end he gets fed up and answers our prayer. Persistent prayer, and why it seems to be so honored through Scripture, is because it reflects a deep desire and passion. It so often comes from a place of great love. St. Paul was passionately devoted to the churches he founded, and he would pray for the people persistently. He wrote to Timothy, I remember you constantly in my prayers day and night. And to the Philippians, I thank God every time I remember you. And to the Colossians, we have not ceased praying for you. This is what persistent prayer is, and it underpinned Paul's entire ministry. Pray as you can, not as you can't, someone once said to me. There are no report cards for prayer, teaches Barbara Crafton. Mother Crafton continues, nothing in the spiritual life needs to be measured. You don't need to worry about whether you're praying as well as somebody else, even somebody whose spiritual life you admire. We are not called to grow into someone else's spiritual clothing, only into our own. Just ask God for the gift of prayer that God wants you to have. Prayer can be formal, like reading and reciting prayers, or it can be informal, like conversation. Both are fine. And prayer does not have to be confined or limited to certain times and places. It can take place while driving or walking or singing. Thank you, one and all, because the one who sings prays twice, said St. Augustine. While fixing a meal, or while standing in awe of God's creation. I realized recently that I pray when I make pies. I've been making pies for years and giving them away and praying for those to whom I'm giving them. Particularly when I roll out the crust and make the lattice. I remember my friend Julie, who taught me how to weave a lattice top shortly before she died. I always remember Julie when I make pie. It's a prayer. And then there are some amazing parishioners among us who knit and crochet blankets and shawls, and it's prayer for them. Prayer takes many forms. Jesus tells us to ask and seek and knock, and that we'll receive. I don't understand why when we seek and knock, some prayers are answered in the way we want and others are not. For those of us who prayed for healing for a loved one, healing that hasn't happened, I have no answers. I don't know how prayer works. What I do believe is that God always listens to our prayers, and that in our darkest times, God suffers with us and holds us in love and care. I think what Jesus' bottom line is he's saying that prayer is about relationship. about our recognizing God's faithfulness, God's persistence toward us, and our trying to be faithful ourselves. About keeping on when it's hard to do. And even when we give up on God, God never gives up on us.